Follow the money.
That's what I always say. You always follow the money.
Yeah.
This is Follow the Money with Mitch Moss and Pauly Howard on VSiN.
Here we go. It is Follow the Money on VSiN, the sports betting network. Mitch Moss along with Pauly Howard. We are live in downtown Vegas from the Circa Resort and Casino here on Super Bowl week. Busy show lined up today. Warren Sharp on the program coming up in about 90 minutes. He's on the show today to get some bets in on the Super Bowl. Dr. David Chow later on in the program. Spoiler alert, he has concerns about Drake May's shoulder. Max Hoffmeyer on tonight's college basketball card. Maybe sneak in some future talk with him as well. I can't wait to talk to Chow when he's on the program today, Pauly, because he reached out to you. You guys were chit-chatting back and forth, and he was expressing his concerns overall about the shoulder for May. And you go back and look, of course, this is like late last week. He missed Friday's practice, the right shoulder, but also the illness that kicked in. And this will obviously be a thing to monitor throughout the entire week, and I'm sure we'll have a bigger update coming up on like Wednesday.
He's more concerned about Spillane. So that's also something to watch. We got a couple things to kick around with him. So I know he put video out there after he was tackled on the long rush and then the horrible throw on third down that wasn't even close, which was after the flea flicker. But certainly the time off is going to help him too. And then he got sick. So as Vrabel said, it's our 21st game. No one's 100%. But I know when we talked to Ira Kaufman, he said 60, 70 on Mayfield. When we knew he was hurt, it'd be nice to get a percentage on Drake May.
Yep, no doubt. And here was Drake May when he was asked about that shoulder missing practice last week.
Were you limited at all? Do you anticipate being limited moving
forward? I'm just trying to do whatever I can to get back to 100%. And I think a lot of people in the locker room would say the same thing. Having a two-week break, it's nice to maybe rest a little more and get to know the Seahawks as good as I can. And from there, looking forward to getting out to practice and trying to transfer that to live game reps. Spend time. That's why you have trainers and I think it's just been one of those things where it's a long season and sometimes you things show up and I'll do whatever I can to feel 100% and I'm sure I'll get if not there as close as you can 99 or do whatever I can to make sure I'm throwing and like I said do whatever I can to help the team win.
That feels a little bit like his head coach is Mike Vrabel. Vrabel, of course, played for Bill Belichick. Belichick never said anything. May actually did give you a good soundbite there, but it's like, okay, we're going to keep this tight-lipped. And even if you are like 60%, you cannot make anybody even think twice about the shoulder being a problem here for the game.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll find out in the game early on, too, by the way, if this awesome Seahawks defense gets to him and they put him on his shoulder, he'll feel that pain immediately.
That'd be something.
Yeah, it would be.
Yeah, because there's also a prop up here at Circa. Will Dobbs take a snap? And it's 8-1. Also have Drew Lock in there, too, if you think it'd be a blowout. Or Elway. If he has, like Elway play, he has to use the bathroom.
Kenny Pickett last year.
Yeah. Will the backup get in there? Good call. 8-1 on both.
Okay. So on Friday's program, we did run down like all these predictions. It was ESPN, it was the Athletic. So on and so forth. And every single person who selected a team to win this game, it was Seattle. A lot of it was in a route to the predictions. That can never be a good thing. And some sports books have been reporting over the weekend anyway that the most popular bets are Seahawks alt numbers.
Mm-hmm.
And you go and look at DraftKings right now, 66% of the bets on Seattle in this game, 73% of the handle. I'm looking at the betting splits right now at vsin.com. They also show the numbers over here at Circa, which they take more sharp action. 67% of the bets now on Seattle, 53% on the Seahawks, but yet the number remains 4.5. This game screams Seahawks in a blowout, but everybody's predicting that, and it's never that easy.
Yeah.
Ever.
Yeah. And people on the other side are still worried about Darnold. How about that, Mitch? That could happen too. The guy who led the league in turnovers. So I think they'll win a low-scoring game, and it could be ugly, and that would help out with some of these props. Well, we'll see if that happens. But it is troubling that everyone's looking at Seattle here.
What does your betting portfolio look like now that we had the entire weekend to have more props maybe added? You looked around some more?
Yeah, they did a good job here. Will Hill added stuff. You went to Boomers. So a lot of books also came out Thursday and Friday with some interesting stuff. Shortest scoring drive of the game, 59.5 seconds.
But that is available at several books now.
How about that? You got to go over, right?
Well, are we going to get a four-play drive in under a minute?
I know.
Probably not.
That one's good.
Now, are we going to get a one-play drive? Could it be a punt return? Both these teams are awesome returning kicks.
Yeah.
Could it be something like that where you're set up? Could it be Sam Darnold turned the ball over more than any other quarterback in the league this year? Patriots, great defense. May has been Mr. Fumbleitis here lately.
Yep.
So could you get a turnover where the other team starts to drive like inside the 30 and wham, bam, thank you, ma'am. Three plays later, they're in the end zone.
Yeah. Yeah. That's very good. That's creative. Like this one, which I think it was either last year or the year before it cashed. Will a quarterback finish with negative rushing yards plus 850? That's only Darnold, though. It's not going to happen to May. And May, I know you like this one. May the force be with you. 250 yards passing, 50 yards rushing. 14-1.
Wow.
That's a good one. Will someone over 300 pounds score a touchdown? That's here. 30-1. Offensive lineman, 28-1. Offensive lineman with a reception, 40-1. Will any player complete a pass to himself? 75-1. I've only seen this globally. I want defensive guy touchdown. Defensive tackle in honor of Vrabel and how they used him when he was a Patriot. But that's been hard to find in Nevada.
You imagine you get the, with that wording, if you get the offensive lineman to score a touchdown
and he's 298.
He's officially listed at 297.
Oh, come on. Come on.
Yeah, right, that's exactly.
Good. Okay, and I know you like this one. The worst rule in sports. Any player fumbles into the opponent's end zone and results in a touchback, 18-1.
That's here at Circa?
That's here at Circa.
Oh.
They have a yes-no on it, too. 18-1.
That actually happened in a big playoff game. That was Browns and Chiefs.
Yeah.
When the Browns and Mayfield, right?
Mm-hmm.
They were holding their own in the first half. I don't remember the exact scenario, but I think they were going to have the lead going into halftime. What, did Mahomes get hurt in that game? And the backup came in?
A little bit, yeah. I remember that was I know Jacksonville.
Now that
was it two? Did he get hurt in that game too?
I think he got hurt in that game and they had, boy.
Yeah.
That's coming to, that absolutely happened. And that was a major talking point, obviously.
They do have the John Casey kickoff out of bounds plus 675. That's good.
Have you given any more thought to the yes-no on the kickoff, the first kickoff at all, to be a touchback?
Yeah, 3-1, yeah. I think it's in play. I like that.
You want to bet the 3-1?
Yes. Yes. Touchback opening kickoff. Score on the last play of the game, plus 650. And in honor of the Malcolm Butler game, will there be an interception in the final minute? That's 12-1. That's also offered at Circa.
Well, that's
excellent job.
You have many scenarios where that could happen.
Yeah.
You could have a Hail Mary attempt.
Yeah.
You could have...
Throw it up for grabs.
For sure. Yeah, that's in the final minute it has to take place, so, huh?
Mm-hmm. That's awesome.
Interception in the first quarter is plus 350.
Yeah. I don't mind that. Brady did in the last one. Second drive of the game in the end zone. He threw a pick. I kind of like that. How about largest lead, 14.5? You think they're going to open up a can on them? I still like that under.
No, that's what everybody is saying.
Under minus 130. I mean, are they going to really have a 17-point lead in this one? Are the Patriots going to embarrass themselves? I can't see it.
So I think for the Seahawks to actually get out in front and then really blow their doors off, it's possible. Sam Darnold has to play a pitcher-perfect game again. Like, he has to be as good as he was against the Rams in the NFC title game.
Yeah.
And their defense just has to be absolutely suffocating and probably create multiple turnovers, right? They have to be perfect on offense, in my opinion, for that lead to go over 14.5. And I don't think that's going to happen. I think the credit here to the Patriots defense has to kick in at some point. They have a lot of talent on that side of the ball, and Vrabel has had him playing great ball. We've kicked a dead horse 1,000 times with the Patriots schedule. And it did obviously go their way big time throughout the regular season and the playoffs. That said, their defense was outstanding in those three games. And so,
yeah.
I don't know, maybe that offense does absolutely nothing in the Seattle defensive numbers overall, and McDonald is awesome as a head coach. Like, their DVOA is one of the top 10 best teams of all time.
What do you think of the both rushing attacks here?
I don't think you're I don't like either one of them.
Yeah.
Well, that comes down the whole. We had Paul Bovey on the show, professional mm-hmm. better last week, and he was, you know, his analysis was spot on. If Spillane is compromised in this game, that's where Walker can go off. And he pointed out that Spillane is actually more important to the rush defense than Milton Williams. And he was making a case, Paul Bovey was on our show last week, that Kenneth Walker to win the MVP, there's certainly a path there based on Spillane's health. But he would be the one guy. Yeah. I think the way to attack the running backs is something that we got caught up in quite a bit last week, is all three guys basically in the passing game. Maybe four if you want to throw Helani in there.
No, all dump offs, yep.
Huh?
Yep, and it's not hard to do. These guys all just have to have a catch or two catches. And Seahawks are flying. Sam, over 227. Walker, over 75 yards rushing, plus 550. That also seems doable and manageable, although I think they contain Walker, but still, it's not, that's not a big ask for a guy to have 80 yards, and he's going to have a lot of carries and a lot of touches.
Did you see the combined yards for these two teams? It's like mid-600s.
Mm-hmm.
That felt like a ton.
I saw a team with the fewest yards to win the game, which was interesting. And I know your favorite bet is Cardi B on TV over 1.5. Will she be shown over 1.5 times? I know you love that.
I didn't even see that one.
Yes.
Is that out there?
Yeah,
that's offshore or that's...
That's Kelsey. That's everything.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. She got to be... They got to show her twice.
Did they...
I mean, they show...
I thought the Giselle props always went under.
No, not the 28-3 game. That flew. I showed her like 6 times.
Well, they were married for a long time. He played in the Super Bowl every year. All right, more up next on the Super Bowl. Will an INT occur in the end zone? Total combined missed field goals and extra points and other creative props that we notice coming up here on VSiN.
So you're listening to this podcast because you want an edge. But what if I told you you're only halfway there? You've got the mindset. Now it's time to get the toolkit to match. Here's the thing. Pro bettors spend thousands on data and tools, but what they don't want you to know is you can get the same edge for a fraction of the cost with VSiN Pro. With VSiN Pro, you get access to expert picks, public betting data, prop projections, powerful tools, analytics, and more. Tap the link in the description and see why thousands of bettors are already using VSiN Pro to cash more bets.
This is Follow the Money on VSiN.
We'll get some Super Bowl thoughts here from Warren Sharp. Been joining us every single Monday at this time throughout the entire football season. And how about this? To celebrate a great season here on the network, Warren has decided to give everyone his in-depth big game report for free. 45-plus pages, PDF, drops tomorrow. Breaks on all the key matchups to give you an edge betting the game, including sides, totals, derivatives, and props. File this one away. Go to sharpspecial.com to claim the offer. Sharpspecial.com to get the offer. It's going to be available tomorrow. Warren joins us now on the Progressive Guest Line. I can't wait to read it, Warren. That's really cool.
Yeah, I put a lot of work into this. As I'm going through the week leading into the Super Bowl, so last week, I'm working on writing this. It is... up to like 59 pages right now. My editor is working on finalizing it. It's got a lot of angles from a matchup and an analytics perspective that aren't really being discussed at a lot of places as of yet. Some of the thoughts that are in here will help steer you in certain directions from a prop betting perspective, from a game side or total perspective as well. Just a lot of research that I've compiled over the last week that I think is going to be interesting for the readers. And as a result, I wanted to share it for free for everybody. If they go to sharpspecial.com, they'll be able to sign up, and we'll get it out to everybody when it goes live tomorrow morning.
Very good. So in all of your analysis and your research for this game, what did you notice when the Patriots played the Bills in week 15, something that Sean McDermott did?
This is absolutely fascinating to me. So teams play cover six, which is a split field coverage. Half the field is being used with quarters. Half the field they're playing cover two on. Teams don't play that very much, like around just under 10% on the season. In the first game against the Patriots, the game that the Bills lost, they played it at about their season average, which is right around 10% as well. However, in the rematch game in week 15, Sean McDermott saw something on film, decided to utilize it, and increased his rate all the way up to 50% cover six against the New England Patriots and Drake May. In that game, that was the highest rate of cover six any team used in any game this past season. And he forced Drake May into a ton of mistakes. He threw an interception, was sacked multiple times, had a horrible EPA per attempt performance, held the ball for a long time. And so what ended up happening, this is where the real fascination comes into play. A lot of the other smart defensive coaches saw what Sean McDermott did in week 15 and began to copycat that to an extent. The very next game, the Baltimore Ravens went up against the New England Patriots. Baltimore plays the lowest rate of too high shell of any team in the NFL last season. They jacked up their cover six rate to over 21% of the time. They held Drake May to 2 of 8, another multiple sack game, plus another interception utilizing the cover six defense. And Drake May almost lost that game. And despite the fact that they were playing Tyrod Taylor, Tyler Huntley, most of the second half of the game, because Lamar Jackson got hurt at the 2 minute warning at the end of the first half. The three playoff games since they've played, every single one of these defenses has increased their rate of cover six against the New England Patriots with success when they deployed that coverage. But those teams don't play cover six very much. Guess who what the Seattle Seahawks rate? They rank as the number one cover six team of all 14 teams that made the postseason. They rank number three highest rate of cover six of any team in the NFL during the regular season. This is music to Mike McDonald's ears. I think he's going to increase his rate of cover six even more, having seen on film what some of these teams did. And it's that little adjustment that Sean McDermott saw in week 15 that might actually help the Seattle Seahawks defense win this game and slow down Drake May. It makes him hold on to the football for too long, and his efficiency decreases a ton against cover six.
That is absolutely phenomenal.
Good job. I think everyone agrees it's going to be a big game to dump it off to the running backs. Is there something you can look at for maybe first pass, complete, incomplete, or the player to have the first reception?
Well, I will tell you this. I haven't sent this out yet, but it is going to be something on my menu that I'm going to probably be sending out maybe later today, maybe in the next hour or so. I'm going to fade JSN as the first reception for the Seattle Seahawks. He is the heavy favorite in that market. I'm going to be looking at a couple of the other players there on Seattle to step up there for a first reception standpoint. But I absolutely believe that the New England Patriots, though they play man coverage at the ninth highest rate of any defense this year, they are not going to want to play as much man coverage against the Seattle Seahawks as they've been doing against every other team. And I went back and I looked at the adjustment that opposing teams are making against Seattle from probably week 12, 13 onwards. Most teams that go up against Seattle are playing man coverage at a 9% lower rate versus Seattle than they do on the regular season. And it's because the Seahawks are really good against man coverage. JSN, Sam Darnold, really good against man coverage. Much worse against zone. It's harder to get the ball to JSN against zone. I think the Patriots would be a lot smarter rather than, and everybody's got different opinions on this, and it's all speculation at this point because we don't know what they're going to do. But I don't think you just simply stick Gonzalez on JSN and hope that he takes care of him. I think that would be music to the ears of Sam Darnold and JSN, and they'll attack Gonzalez man coverage. They'll hope that that's the case. I think they're going to double up and utilize some zone principles against JSN and force Sam Darnold to beat him to other players like Cooper Kupp, like AJ Barner, like the running backs out of the backfield. And I absolutely do think that with a higher rate of of zone coverage that the Patriots might shift into for this game, that's where Sam Darnold does look to check down to the running backs. And I think a lot of people out there, because the line hasn't moved, are betting the running back receiving props as if this is the Seattle Seahawks and the way that they've played the entire season. If you start looking at how the Seattle Seahawks have played over the second half of the season, they're throwing the ball at much higher rates to their running backs, and their running back efficiency, ironically enough, in the entire season, number two best yards per target on early downs in the first three quarters of games, designed offensive plays, the number two behind only the Atlanta Falcons with Bijan Robinson. I think Kenneth Walker will have a tremendous game out of the backfield for the Seattle Seahawks. I think that they are going to, K9 is going to have high upside. His prop number is down to 20.5 receiving yards. I just don't buy it. And I've bet it towards the over, and I know some other people disagree with me in the market, and they've bet it back towards the under. That's fine. I'm going to continue to get more down on that prop. Kenneth Walker has had a lot of success. He's done it of late, but this particular matchup with the way that I think the Patriots are going to deploy more zone coverage than people are expecting, coupled with the fact that the New England Patriots have played very few teams that are actually good and excel at throwing the ball to running backs. So their stats, I think, are inflated. They look like they're one of the best defenses against running backs, but it's primarily because they haven't played a lot of teams that like to throw the ball to running backs or have running backs as dynamic as Kenneth Walker. I think we're going to see him go over his total receiving yards.
It almost smells to me like that might be a lateralable bet as well, huh?
I think it is a lateralable bet. I also look at George Helani out of the backfield. His receptions, I think, are the more valuable prop there. Think about it in this context as well, guys. The issue is not just, oh, well, they might want to throw the ball more to the running back. The issue is they need to get the ball into Kenneth Walker's hands because he's probably their second most dynamic weapon behind JSN. And you can't just guarantee that you're going to get the ball into JSN's hands 20 times in this game, right? That's not reasonable. Mm-hmm. But you can get the ball into Kenneth Walker's hands 20 times. The question is, how many of those times do you want him to try to run through the New England Patriots' number one ranked run defense and that strong defensive line? Or how many times do you want to try to get him to work the perimeters by throwing him the football and go up against linebackers and guys in the secondary trying to tackle him, as opposed to dealing with that defensive line? That defensive line is absolutely incredible. And I think that it's going to be a hard time for the Seattle Seahawks to run the football here, which will allow the Patriots to be in this game even late if they can keep it close enough, because it's going to be hard for the Seahawks to run the clock out if they are playing with a lead. I just don't think they're going to have success running the football. Remember, Sam Darnold turned to the passing game against the Rams to try to end that game. He might have to do the same here if the Seahawks are up late in this one.
Warren, that was a spectacular hit as always. Thanks so much for the time. I know you're going to be doing a lot of hits on VSiN throughout the entire week, and we'll talk to you again this coming Sunday, Super Bowl Sunday, during the Pro Football Tailgate Show.
Yeah, really looking forward to that. And as a reminder, make sure you guys go check out that. I'll get you guys a copy of your PDF. You can spend 30 minutes to maybe an hour and a half reading it. It's going to be some good info inside there.
I can't wait to check it out. Thanks again. And here's what Warren's talking about now. To celebrate a great season here on VSiN, Warren has decided to give everybody his in-depth big game report for free. Up to 59 pages, he said. The editor might shrink it down a little bit, but so there you go. PDF is going to drop tomorrow, breaks in all the key matchups. And if you want more of that analysis that he just gave over the last 10 minutes, why wouldn't you? It was awesome. Sides, totals, derivatives, props, sharpspecial.com to get the offer. Sharpspecial.com. This needs to be a priority on Super Bowl Sunday. Real or Fugazi coming up next.
Mitch Moss and Pauly Howard are here to make you a friend of ours.
That would mean you were made, guy.
Investigating what is and isn't legit.
Plus, that's a fugazi. All right? That's a fugazi. We looked at it for 2 seconds.
Seeing through the lines to make you a better.
I know you know. And I know you know I know you know.
The FTM Army is being sent for.
In our thing, you get sent for, you go in alive, you come out dead, and it's your best friend that does.
These two wise guys would never steer you wrong.
Forget about it.
This is Real or Fugazi on Follow the Money.
All right. Beautiful.
Paulie, yeah, make sure you have at least a couple of books loaded on Super Bowl Sunday. Live betting the MVP needs to be a priority. Real or Fugazi?
That's real. Yes. Very good.
I'll have a breakdown later on in the week of the non-quarterbacks to win it from the offensive side. Remember when Cooper Kupp did it as the wide receiver? He was having a nice game. Stafford was not having like a great game. Like last week, NFC title game, Darnold's going to win the MVP because he was sensational. So was JSN. But there's no way JSN would win over Sam Darnold in that same scenario. So if you're noticing the quarterback is having kind of a meh day.
Or it's an ugly game. Yeah.
Yeah. But there's one receiver who has like the Edelman game. Right? where he's got 10 catches and a bulk of the yards.
Or Myers hits from 55 and 52.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I have not bet the kickers yet. I'm thinking about betting both. Really under the idea that this could be
offered.
A low-scoring game.
70 yards is 200-1, 65-plus, 40-1. Both teams to make three, both teams to make four. Every which way but loose.
Now, with that said, voters would love nothing more than to give the award to Sam Darnold. Real or Fugazi?
Yes, that's real. What a career arc and what a story. And Jet fans joke it's worth the draft pick because he beats the Patriots and they don't get a Super Bowl. But to be a top five pick, the seeing ghost line, and on his sixth team to win a Super Bowl?
Yeah.
How about what Jefferson said? Yeah, we would have had a better year if we kept him. I mean, that's...
Flat out admitting
that's
it.
That's a tough one for the Minnesota Vikings, too.
No question.
And also the guy going back-to-back 14-win seasons.
On two
Brady.
Different teams.
Yeah, Brady the last guy to do that.
They love the story out of nowhere. They really do.
Fair. That's fair. The list is official. We are headed toward 18. But what do you think now? We will have at least 8 international games next year. Madrid, Munich, Rio de Janeiro, Australia, 3 games in London. Is this a good thing? This is a good thing, excuse me. Real or Fugazi?
Yeah, why not? I'll buy in.
So you get 6:30 games, half the season, and eventually every single week what they want to do.
Seems like a pretty easy trip to Australia for the two teams that are going to be involved,
right.
Huh?
Yeah, right.
They'll get there in no time whatsoever. I'll embrace it. Again, they're holding us hostage already. So why not just fully embrace it at this point? It's going to turn into 18, pretty much. Maybe they can't go 18 because late in the year. But we're going to get, at some point, 12, 15 different weeks with an international game. And they're all going to be tucked in there at 9:30 Eastern time. So it's going
to
be every single Sunday
wall.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah. I love the Friday night, Brazil, wherever that's going to be. Like what they've done in the past.
Mm-hmm.
I like the Thursday in this defending champs home game and then... Do Friday night wherever you want. Like that.
Can you see a scenario where it's basically every week?
The year? That's what Kraft said. I think it's going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And that's, let's go up to 18 games. Let's go to 2 buys and let's go the full circle here.
Even a Super Bowl blowout like last year shouldn't be boring. Bets, right. Squares, parties, food, drinks, commercials, halftime. Right company that you're around, real or Fugazi?
I have never thought, this is a boring game. I didn't. I thought there was so much intrigue. What was going on with Rams Patriots? Well, a lot of people all this game. I mean, there was so much going on with. Will we even see a touchdown?
Right.
What am I watching? I can't believe this. The total was in the 50s. How can we have a 6-3 final, which was in play, and between the halftime, props cashing every play. I don't think you can just say that this is boring or this. You got to be on your toes for everything.
I would say
props in play. What the commercial's going to be? What would the announcer say? Who are they going to show? What's going to happen at halftime? There's so much going on.
I actually thought the Seahawks Broncos Super Bowl was fascinating.
Yeah.
Safety to start the game.
Yeah, right.
That offense, best of all time, basically at the time, got absolutely annihilated.
Yeah.
And so just to, watch that for 3 hours, you're like, this is staggering to me.
Yeah. They have, will there be a streaker that's offered? Will someone get on the field? Streaker to be tackled? Unauthorized person, touch the logo, enter the end zone, contact the player, and over under 17 and a half seconds on the field if that happens.
Yeah.
You got that, too.
So for a Super Bowl, this could go for most games, but I'll say just for the Super Bowl, 10-10 late can be just as exciting as 28 apiece. Real or Fugazi?
You're talking fourth quarter?
Yeah, sure.
Oh, absolutely, yeah. It doesn't matter. Yeah.
Points are at a premium.
Yeah.
Defense rules the day. You don't know where the next big play's coming from. Hell, an 8-yard gain might be a big deal.
You got no problem with that. You just want this
Neither
to be
I.
close. No, that doesn't matter.
Mm-hmm.
Real. You just want this to be close. Because it sucks if like last year. That was a bad way to go out. But you hope that it's close. But that thing was over. That goes back to your point where you got to have the apps ready to go. Because that was, I can't believe what I'm watching. Is Mahomes going to get embarrassed? He never loses like this. Are they even going to make it interesting to what Von Tobel was saying? This thing's over. You know, we had future tickets on the Eagles. You're wasting money if you're hedging. Mm-hmm. Kansas City's got no chance. And he was right.
The Clippers are really going to do this, aren't they?
Well, the schedule is easy once you get to March and then close out in April. Now, what can they do in February? They are now down to 14-1 to win the division. I still say Fugazi. But that was a big win last night. We'll see if they're small dogs at home against the Sixers. How are they going to treat the schedule and back-to-backs with Kawhi, and can he stay healthy? Incredible turnaround. But now from 100-1 to 14-1 to win the division. It all comes down to February, because March and April, very doable from a schedule standpoint.
The Warriors, yuck. The Lakers, just horrible defensively overall.
They've passed the Warriors now in the odds.
Yeah, I think that's
they have better odds to win the division than Golden State.
I think they should. And Can Phoenix really do this for the entire year? I know Booker's been out here recently, but they have a really tough schedule coming up as well for the rest of the season.
Yeah.
I said this earlier, I'll say it again. The Bulls are the new favorites to land Greek Freak. That, to me, is uninspiring.
Fugazi. I'd like to see that. That'd be a good
move. Would.
That'd be a good landing spot with a top five market and to go to Chicago. They've got to get out of this funk for 10 years where it's, let's just get in the play-in and good enough or be like the eighth seed. It's ridiculous.
What is he going to do?
Blow it up or do so. I don't know what they're going to give up, but that'd be a good landing spot in terms of a big market team. And if the Freak can turn around the Bulls.
Well, who do the Bulls have as a roster that they would actually make them like a top three team in the East?
I don't know what they would give. I don't know why the big move and what would happen and how many teams would be involved.
Well, the Bucks are absolutely getting Giddy. Mm-hmm. Under no circumstance could they do a deal with the Bulls and not get Giddy. That would be pathetic. And I don't know what else they would also offer to him, but I just think that there are so many. I'm talking about for both sides here. That, to me, is just yuck.
What?
That doesn't even move the needle for him to go to the Bulls.
Huh.
The best player on Duke doesn't have to win the Wooden Award every single year. Real or Fugazi?
Yeah, real. Yeah. Now, they're having quite an unbelievable season.
Yeah.
Your only loss is by 1 point to Texas Tech. But they could keep doing this. I just don't agree with the odds.
Yeah, this is...
There's so many great freshmen. There's so many great players. How can you be out to this size of a big of a favorite?
Again, no knock on Boozer. Kid's incredible. Averaging 23.5 points per game, second in the country. 9.8 rebounds. Shoots 59%, 1.8 steals. He's $9 to win the award? How about A.G. DeBanza?
Mm-hmm.
23.3 points per game. He's 11-1, by the way. That's third in the country. 6.5 rebounds per game, 53%, 1.2 steals, but what he's doing for BYU. And then the team that Duke lost to, Toppin, is 18-1, 22.5 points, 11 rebounds, 57%, 1.1 steals, 1.7 blocks. Why is this thing over with? Why could a guy like Toppin not get the award? Because Boozer's the best player and he happens to be at Duke?
I don't know if he's have enough time, though.
Oh, no,
nine games, I know. It's kind of telling you he's running out of, doesn't have enough time.
But Boozer's going to win the award, I would assume. I don't think this is worth a bet on DeBanza or Toppin. I just think it sucks.
Yeah.
Like last year, Flagg had to win it. Broom was right on him.
Football meets flavor with Veasan and Omaha Steaks, official sponsor of tailgating. And right now, when you spend $129, get 2 pounds of fully cooked wings, 50% off site-wide, omahasteaks.com/Veasan. You see the menu and the selection. Credible offer delivered right to your door. Minimum purchase required. See site for details. omahasteaks.com/Veasan. 2 pounds of wings. Spend $129. omahasteaks.com.
Dr. David Chow on the program next. He has concerns about the overall health of Patriots quarterback Drake May. He'll tell us why next year on Veasan.
This is Follow the Money with Mitch Moss and Pauly Howard on VSiN.
Thanks for checking in here on a Monday. Coming up in this hour, we'll get to some of the most creative props that we've seen so far for the Super Bowl. Max Hoffmeyer is going to join the program. Fun night tonight in hoops. We'll get his best bets on the card, including a look at Texas Tech and Kansas. In pocket plays from us as well. And right now, we begin the hour by going out to the Progressive guest line. Dr. David Chow joins us. You can follow him on X at Pro Football Doc, and he's been joining us every Sunday on the Tailgate Show throughout the entire football season. Good to talk to you again, Doc. How are you today?
I'm doing great. Perfect timing. I just made it into San Francisco.
Oh,
just
very nice.
Just checked into the hotel room.
Okay. Going to be hanging out at Radio Row the entire time?
Yeah, a bunch of media hits, Radio Row things, et cetera. You know, you guys are lucky. You guys get to stay home.
That's a great city. There's a lot of great places to eat, too. It's a lot of fun there. How's it been going back and forth with Patriot fans the last week?
You know, look, what Patriots fans don't understand is I don't hate on the Patriots. I actually like the Patriots. I put up video where their former head coach, who didn't get in the Hall of Fame, obviously he should have, you know, came on my podcast. I've been a Patriots fan back Junior Seau days and beyond. I was just telling it like it was. There was no doubt in my mind there was a right shoulder injury. And I wasn't saying he wasn't going to play, but I did say I was more worried about Drake May being that it was a new right shoulder injury, especially the day after the game, than I was about Sam Darnold with an old oblique injury where he's already played two games. So, you know, nowadays people don't listen to everything. It's all good. It's all good.
So he got tackled on that run, and then after that, he had a horrible throw on third down. That you had a good job showing the video there. And then you could also make the case, well, the stiff arm on the run showed he was okay, or maybe it hurt him with the stiff arm. What direction do you see?
On the Hufanga tackle, he clearly landed his elbow and shoulder. I think he, quote, hurts his shoulder on that play. He hands the ball off. He gets up a little slow. Yes, he adjusts his shoulder pads. And then on the next play is a handoff. And after the next play, you can see him chicken winging his right shoulder there. And then admittedly, the next play is the flea flicker, which he completes for 30 yards. Wasn't a bullet pass, didn't need to be a bullet pass, but he completed for 30 yards. And you're right, later on, there was an out pattern that was thrown into the dirt. Was it wind? Was it poor grip because of the weather? Was it pressure because he couldn't step into the throw? Was it his shoulder? Was it part of all four? Who knows? And then one more pass only, which was a throwaway, one more drop back that was a sack. Mm-hmm. And you could see him favoring his shoulder after the game and in the press conference a little bit. And I just simply acknowledge that there was a shoulder injury. Now, coach speak. I love Coach Vrabel. I think he's awesome. I've met him. He's great for New England and that team. A lot of respect for him. But he's doing his job with his coach speak a little bit. And then finally come the injury report on Wednesday, he admitted it was a new injury from Sunday, which is kind of matching what we said all along.
Okay. And then obviously you labeled questionable last week. He missed practice. There was an illness in there as well. Mm-hmm. It is Monday now of the actual big game week. If you had to put a percentage on his health, like what would you speculate it to be at?
Well, they did have a practice today. They aren't allowing reporters in at all. Mm-hmm. There won't be an injury report till Wednesday. You'll get the usual Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. And Friday, who knows? He may be listed as questionable for the game or listed without an injury designation. Right now at Sports Center Central, you know, we do six scores. We have a six score of 87-88 on Drake May. We are confident that he will play in the game. We are confident that he will be able to do a lot. The question mark, because we haven't seen it yet, is how is his downfield accuracy on the long ball? And as you all know, he has been among the best in the league at the deep ball. Mm-hmm. The question is, where will he be at for this coming Sunday? We really strongly believe he's going to play.
Okay, so then, like on game day itself, let's say the shoulder, it's a lingering problem. You go back to the Niners when they played the Seahawks, and Darnold had the oblique, and Shanahan after the game is like, we knew he was going to be fine. They're just going to give him Toradol. Is the throwing shoulder for a quarterback something as simple as saying, let's jam some Toradol in him and he's going to be okay?
Well, some Toradol potentially, the adrenaline of the game, of course, and potentially if it really is a mild AC joint / posterior capsule, as he said, you could put in a little bit of numbing medication. Look, we don't know exactly what the injury is. We don't think it's surgical. We don't think it's severe. We think he's going to play through. How it will affect him is anyone's guess. I think the worry is to look at the deep ball here. The good news is there shouldn't be the same weather that he experienced in Denver, especially in that second half of the game. It's beautiful right now out here in San Francisco in the Bay Area.
But how easily re-injurable, I guess, it's not probably not a word, but we'll go with it here, is the shoulder if he takes a spill similar to the one that he had in the AFC title game?
Well, it certainly can be aggravated, just like, you know, Sam Darnold's shoulder can be injured if he takes a certain hit on it. It is the collision sport of football. But, you know, people, you guys mentioned earlier, well, he stiff-armed the guy on that key first down run. Well, that's called adrenaline. And let me tell you something. When you have a throwing shoulder injury, stiff-arming someone is easier than overhead, right? People made a lot out of Drake May's video. He's carrying his suitcase off the plane in his right hand, which means he's fine. Well, if I see him put that suitcase in the overhead luggage compartment with his right shoulder, I'd feel better than him just carrying it at his side. His arm isn't useless. It's just the demands of throwing are a little bit different. And it remains to be seen. It's something to watch. Would I be overly concerned about it? No, but it is something that's a concern. Why? Because it's the Super Bowl. Everything's overblown in the Super Bowl, especially a new throwing shoulder injury on a quarterback. Look, Sam Darnold is still listed on the injury report with his oblique injury. And, you know, any injury gets magnified now with the Super Bowl in terms of scrutiny.
Yeah. Hey, Doc, how about Josh Allen playing 6 weeks with a broken foot?
You know, we all knew Josh Allen has that Superman cape, that big S on his chest. But let me tell you, that foot fracture, yes, it was a fracture. Yes, he needed surgery. But it is a fifth metatarsal avulsion fracture. It's not a Jones fracture like you see. And the fracture likely wasn't even fixed, per se. It's a small avulsion piece that's chronic that started to flare up. You excise it, reattach the tendon. The good news is recovery is very reliable. I'll give it to him. Josh Allen has proven his toughness. It is an injury that you can play through, even though you see your fracture and you think superhuman. Okay. He is Superman, but he still is human. And good on Josh that he was able to play through. He'll be fine well ahead of next season.
All right, fair enough. So you're more concerned with Spillane's injury, and you saw him hobbling around and getting on the plane. What do you think of that?
I am more concerned with Spillane's injury because, A, he did not return to the game, and some of that may have been the slippery surface, right? When you have an injured left ankle and you can't cut and you can't get good footing, that's not a good surface to return. But we all saw him on the sideline, and it was possible that he could. Yes, getting off the plane, you could see a hitch in his gait on the left ankle as he descended the stairs. But to be fair, it's coming off a long flight. It's not with warm-up. It's not with Toradol. It's not with other things. But also, guess what? He really is a sideline-to-sideline linebacker. So that is something to watch in terms of his ankle going forward for the injury reports this week and for Super Bowl Sunday.
Any other
player? Harold Landry, too. He didn't play last week.
Right. Yeah. So who else are you going to be monitoring this week when the injury report's going to come out on Wednesday?
Well, you know, obviously Drake May, you know, Spillane, Harold Landry, and of course on the Seahawks, Ernest Jones and one or two other Seahawks. Charles Cross is in theory going to be fine, the left tackle for the Seahawks. Sam Darnold is likely to still be on the injury report with the oblique. But, you know, by the time Super Bowl Sunday comes around, it will be 4+ weeks from the injury. So I think given his last game, the NFC Championship game, I don't think people are too worried about his oblique right now.
A lot of people like the Seahawks. Are you in the same camp?
Well, you know, when you get down to this side, our success at Sports Injury Central and Sick Picks is when there's a bad line. The line should be different based on cluster injuries. And guess what? Seahawks have been basically the healthiest team this entire season, according to Sports Injury Central. The Patriots are in the top five, not far behind. These are two healthy teams here. This is not Seattle hosting the San Francisco 49ers when we said the line can't be big enough where they're going to cover that. This is probably where the line is. But yes, I do lean personally towards Seattle, but that's more from the football side than the injury side.
Fair enough. You can follow Dr. Chow on X at Pro Football Doc. Thanks so much for your perspective. We'll catch up again on Super Bowl Sunday.
Thank you.
And thanks, he was on the Progressive guest line. Okay, so Paul Bovey was on last week, professional sports bettor. He was making the case that Milton Williams is not the guy that is ultra important to stopping the opposing team's running game. It's actually Robert Spillane.
I think the Ice Cube's got a lot to do with it, though, too. That guy's been a hell of a player.
I totally agree.
Yep.
But he thinks that Spillane missing could actually create a huge game for Kenneth Walker, or, you know, for him to, because Kenneth Walker's rushing yards prop keeps coming down. And he said he wants it. Yep. He's just going to wait as long as possible. And then if the number is right, he's going to bet the over on it. So, because the Spillane thing would be big. I mean, when he was missing time at the end of the year, like, that completely flipped where you could suddenly run on that team. We will get into the creativity with a lot of these props coming up next. And we have an update on LeBron James and the Los Angeles Lakers. Oh boy. It's next on Follow the Money. It's VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.